now study chapter 11 and the last chapter on pricing for international market. Another one of the four P's of marketing mix: product, price, place. We have studied promotion, and pricing is the one which is now pending. Globally, pricing decisions are both very interesting and challenging. The way the world is shaping and dynamically changing, it is becoming more and more challenging. Pricing must give seller what he needs and buyer what he ventured out for, value for money. Price is relevant to the quality and value that you provide. Pricing is equal to revenue. That's another fact of life. The only P out of four marketing P, product is a cost center, promotion is a cost center, place is a cost center, price is the only P that gives you revenue. Okay, so in international marketing, pricing is equal to both revenue plus profit, which is the case even domestically. Any pricing objective must be consistent with the overall organization objective. That is very important, including short-term profit and long-term strategic objective. That is either penetration of the market, innovativeness of the market, or competition handling. So various aspects decide your pricing decisions. So let's understand them one by one. So first of all, setting the pricing objective and determinants of the export pricing. So we will handle this in this section. What is pricing objectives and determinants, so to say? So there is a, in the center is the objective that you want to achieve by pursuing certain pricing strategy. Okay. And various determinants that we are going to study. One is an internal factor, and second outside dotted line is the external factor. Internally, there are aspects like cost, product life cycle, marketing activities, and firm strategy. That will be the internal factor. On the outside is the competition, demand, consumers, okay, economic activity, all aspects which is going to extract pressure on your pricing strategy. So that's the two things that we need to understand. Internal factor like cost. Every product has a cost attached. Raw material, labor, utility consumption, etc. In export market, additionally, product modification, like for an automobile company, in India, it's a right-hand drive. But if you have to export, you have to convert your vehicle into left-hand drive. So there are modifications, packaging, export packaging, labeling of that country you have to fulfill, compliances, standards, etc. For that, you will have to incur certain expenditure, checking the credit, documentation for exports, etc., financing charges, training, okay, your own visits to trade fairs, etc. All must get as a included in the cost. So that's a cost. Second is the product. So here the quality materializes, you know, the matter, and at what cost, what quality are you getting? Product has high value positioning, so then the premium pricing is possible. If you have a simple part, but if you have polished it, finished it very well, that can fetch you higher price. Okay, so that's where how much value you are adding, your ability to extract higher pricing will be higher. Product that requires services that can also need to be factored in. Certain things require certain service support. You must factor it in your product pricing. Firm strategy. If market penetration is required, that means you have to enter at a low price so that competition customer can be at least pursued once to try your product. So that's your penetration marketing strategy. Then in that case, the pricing has to be lower. If firm wishes to recover investment soon, because you are in a technology world, technology is changing faster. After your introduction, you do not know in how much time the competition will come or the technology will change. So effort or the pressure is to extract your investment faster. So in that case, you have to go for the higher pricing. If firm strategy have high international repute, you have to achieve reputation in the market, then enter with the price in line with the international pricing to maintain credibility and reputation. You should not be looked down upon as somebody who's unnecessarily doing a throwaway pricing sale in my country. So then that may also affect your reputation. So these are the aspects one should keep in mind. various marketing activities. So it is like how much you invest in the research, the advertising, all the entire that marketing mix and the communication mix, that will determine your costs, and then your ROI that you try to achieve, that will get factored in your pricing. Many expenditure, many time are apportioned over a year. Research expenditure is generally not attributed to a particular year, because out of that research you may come out with a new product. The new product may sustain over period. So even marketing research cost is apportioned over, say, 3 years or something like that. So that it's not that one particular year is overburdened. So that's on the marketing activity. Life cycle of the product. Certain products have a shorter life cycle. Certain products can have a manageable life cycle. Certain products can have a longer life cycle. It depends on what and the competitive environment that you are in. So introduction stage, you may charge lower because you want to garner likes for your product. You want to have more and more people try your product. During the growth phase, you have a power to charge more, because now you know that your communication has made an effect, consumers are liking it. During decline stage, again, frequent promotion expenditure and all to push the product. Okay, and then beyond a point, you may have to swipe off pricing to liquidate your inventory. You start realizing that you are declining, and now it's a time that you kind of liquidate the available stock. Instead of they becoming dead, it is better to recover. So in that case, you go with a swipe off pricing. So that's a pricing linked to the product life cycle. These are all internal factors. Externally, competition, that is the intensity of the competition, the strength of the competition, monetary power of the competition, market acceptance of the competition, all will decide influence on your pricing. Demand, whether demand decides the pricing. Naturally, if the supply is less and demand is more, you can extract more price. Vis-a-vis price elasticity, petrol. At any cost, petrol consumption is growing across the world, not necessarily India. So that's an inelastic demand. Consumers, market dynamics, their nature of consumers, are they rich consumers, are they poor customers, low income people, who's your target segment, that will decide your pricing. So other factors such as demography, cultural hygiene factor, and other promotion factor, etc., you may have to keep into account while you fix your pricing. But that's what, it's a factor which relates outside your control. Economic condition, that is country's impact, you know, have a impact. How are sound or how debt ridden country you are, and how's your economy. So whether it is straining, inflation, if it is high, the consumer's disposable income goes down. So if inflation is uncontrolled and better per capita income, means they will have a more disposable income, that is more income in their hand to dispose of, means consume. Okay, so then that also is the factor that will impact your pricing. Channel of distribution, what kind of distribution channel, intermediaries you have, facilities you offer, skill required in your manpower, etc. How intense or select marketing you are doing, or it's an exclusive shop based marketing. So that will determine your pricing. Commission is a cost that you have to pay to your distributor, etc. So that aspect has to be factored in. Another external factor is differential product, where a product has certain feature which other similar products are not offering. Okay, that is known as a differential product, and thus you may charge premium pricing. Okay, others are not having it. You have this product having this unique feature, so you can charge premium. Legal and regulatory factor, this will include all factors pertaining to government of that country towards tariff, taxes and compliances. So even that has to be factored into account. Okay, some countries will insist a lot of custom inspection and, you know, those kind of costs. So that's a cost on you. So you should be aware of, not only in your home country, but in the country where you are importing, in that country, what all additional expenditure you will have to do. So those aspects should be known to you. They drive, this is as an external factor, they drive your pricing. So we have understood objective setting of the pricing and how internal factor and how external factor determines your pricing. So that is one section that we have complete. Now, for you to be able to decide your pricing, what kind of information you require for export pricing means you are selling your goods in the other country. So what kind of information you require? So required information for product pricing is of course the cost first, that is raw material, labor, admin and various add-ons. This may be mostly at your home country. Then comes the distribution cost, that is selling, packaging. Now you may require multiple packaging, you may require specific packaging because that country has a different packaging specifications or label instructions, etc. The transportation, your a role in transportation, whether you are supposed to deliver goods in the port there or you are deliver goods on the ship in your port, country's port. And so there are various international terminology that determines whose role is what, etc. Insurance, etc. Cost related to the export. So the modification you may require, I gave you that example of left-hand drive, right-hand drive, that auto manufacturer in India has to handle. Various additional documentation required, packaging requirements, and then export marketing additional expenditure that you will do. How you will ship it, how will you ensure good reaches the end customer, related to the product, you know, insurance, shipping insurance, etc., handling charges, port handling charges and all. So that are the additional information that you should be aware of. Cost estimate also depends on, as I told you, the terms and condition that you have agreed upon. Free on board means you will be responsible till you load the goods on the ship, carrying and forwarding. So whether you are carrying and forwarding this thing, or whether insurance is under your this thing, whether you are supposed to take insurance also by sea or by air, you are supposed to send, handling at various destinations. So how is your good going to move and whether it will require handling, and so then what is the handling charges, etc. Even airport handling charges has to be paid, duties and taxes. So that you have to be very clear about how is your good categorized. So what is an applicable duty and tariff taxes, clearing agents fees, and those who are helping you to get your goods cleared at the foreign market, you know, port, etc. Transport to the importer warehouse, importer's own margin and wholesaler and retailer margin. If he is going to supply goods to the retailer through wholesaler, then his margin also has to be added. So these are various cost estimate and the formation of it that you should be aware of. So this is a kind of information that we have saw that is required to be known besides regulation in the export country. So things like the floor price, duty drawback if there is anything offered by them, or import replenishment kind of incentive, or income tax benefit if it is offered, railway freight schemes concession if it is offered. So regulation in the export country, if any, you should be aware of what you can claim. So offset this overall will help you to determine the right pricing. So these are, in short, these are the information which is required to fix up your export pricing. Moving on, there are a few further aspects of information. Regulation in the import country. So what is an import duty, quota restrictions, if any, source of supply, you know, country of origin, you have to give an IAC certification, etc. Any substitute product available in that country, terms of payment that you have agreed upon. So these are the other additional information. Besides that, the other relevant data like customer attitude towards the price and the quality. Are they price conscious or the quality conscious, etc. Inventory of finished goods. So what level of inventory that you need to maintain to serve customer. Political restrictions on trade, if any, airship services and the frequency and the speed of it, business policy, trade agreement, bilateral or multi, you know, most favored nation status, whether it is given or not. So various such other relevant data are required before you get into formation of your pricing for a specific country. So we have understood various information that is required before fixing the pricing. So now we get into understanding export pricing strategies that is available to any exporter. pricing must follow a strategic approach. As we have decided, that's the only fee that gives the revenue to the company. It has to take into account environment, competition, and the product and the brand position that you have created. Besides this, whether you are entering market or you are in the established market already, those factors, product life cycle stage, okay, whether your product life cycle stage in home market versus product life cycle stage in the exported market, that is the country where it is imported. So those aspects also has to be taken into account. So some of the pricing strategies that we must be aware of is, first is the skimming pricing strategy. There are again two, rapid skimming and slow skimming. Rapid skimming means you know that you are probably undisputed leader. You know that people are awaiting this product very anxiously. You know that you are into a technology market. You are not sure how soon the other is going to come in or how soon the technology may change. So you want to recover your investment, protect your risk, and therefore you may get into rapid skimming. But if you know that you can do it at a slow pace, you have an exclusive technology, patented, copying is difficult, then probably you can spread across little more years. Penetrative pricing strategy. So whether rapid penetration or slow penetration, you want to make a kill on entry, suppose, or you have decided now I have no do or die. It's like a do or die. I need to achieve certain market share in a state or in a country where market share is very poor. So then you get into rapid penetration. So slow penetration means you will gradually make your price competitive and grab the more customer. Pro pricing strategy, here customers have a habit of probing various places, and you should be aware of that aspect, and therefore ongoing current pricing you should be aware of, and then accordingly you try and fix up your pricing. Follow the leader pricing. Here, simple rule, if leader is X, my price will be X minus so and so or something like that. So the leader increases the price, you can increase the price. It reduces the price, you have to reduce the price. Differential trade margin pricing strategy. Here, different channel, different margins are given depending on the reach and the ability of that channel, what market it is serving. You probably can keep it mutually exclusive and thereby offer a differential trade margin based pricing. So going from one channel, price will be X, but they will serve only specific market. The other channel will serve specific market. So you are able to keep it mutually exclusive, yet you are trying to create a proper pricing that will attract customer by doing this kind of a pricing strategy. Standard export pricing strategy. Here, come what may, various aspects taken into account, averaged out, standardized, and then you say, okay, this is what my standard pricing, irrespective of what may be the prevailing price or a competitive price, etc. Differential pricing strategy, you will kind of create a specific differential in your pricing strategy, which is kind of both attractive and appealing, and you will kind of varying it on a particular term. So that's why you will remain competitive. Transfer pricing. Here, what happens, many countries, many companies across the world, they have various manufacturing facilities. Now, it may be that one particular company output is a raw material to the other company, manufacturing of the same goods. So here the transfer pricing is followed, where basic production costs come little margin, because overall that parent company wants to ensure that the raw material cost overall remain low, so they remain competitive when the final product is produced. So transfer pricing is one area where various approach can be adopted. Trial pricing, you want to encourage a lot of trial, so you create that. And last is the flexible, depending on condition to condition, you probably decide what is the best pricing, and you probably keep playing with your pricing. So that is also one approach. So we almost like 10 pricing strategies that we understood. One aspect that we need to understand in the international marketing context, the concept of marginal cost and advantages and disadvantages of it. So we will get into understanding that. The concept of marginal costing, also known as a differential costing. Here, accounting approach is very common in export. This is an impact which you try to minimize unwarranted burden on the export pricing. Here the fixed cost is allocated over a long term, considering that the benefits are accrued over allocated long term period. So therefore price is equal to direct cost of production plus fixed cost apportioned for the period. So you see that the fixed cost is not recovered in the same period. So that's why overall price comes down. So fixed cost can be apportioned to either volume number. So you create cost per volume, etc. You know, so that is another method. So that's where the marginal costing is therefore gaining popularity. It's been used widely. Here just an example is given. Total pre-introduction expenditure say 10 lakhs, launch advertisement 5 lakhs, cost of a product is 100, expected volume in first year is say 1 lakh number. So now how do you fix up, okay, the price? So price is equal to 100, that is what the cost of a product, plus rupees 10 lakh, which is an advertising launch advertising expenditure divided by 1 lakh, which is that expected volume in the first year. So you get 10 rupees plus rupees 5 lakh, which is your cost towards launch advertisement divided by 1 lakh. So you get 5 rupees. So therefore, it is like 100 plus 10 plus 5 plus you add profit margin. So that's how the marginal costing is considered. Marginal costing, pre-introduction plus advertisement expenditure are spread over 3 years. Now, in earlier case, so what I gave you the earlier example is recovering the cost in the same duration. But now if you practice marginal costing, you are recovering spreading over a period. So here 100 rupees plus 10 lakh divided by 3 years. So rupees 3.3 lakh per year divided by 1 lakh. So likewise 5 lakh divided by 3 years. So that is 1.67 lakh divided by 1 lakh you need. So overall the price is just 105. So you see that vis-a-vis 115 plus profit margin. But if you adopt marginal costing, you get 105 plus profit margin. And because you are going to go over 3 years, and maybe more, you tend to benefit in the long run. So that's what marginal costing is all about. If goods are produced at one location, then only variable cost to produce goods will be recovered. That's another approach to market marginal costing. Suppose you are producing goods in one factory. Now you have decided to export, for which you have to produce more. Now what you are doing is actually variable cost to produce more. You will have to probably ask people to work more overtime, etc. So that variable cost of utility, etc., only will be added into your costing. Assumption is that fixed cost will remain as it is even for the domestic market, and you recover it from the domestic market. The incremental cost that you incur towards producing quantity for the export market is only considered for your costing. So that's another approach to marginal costing. Advantage is it helps you to penetrate market, keeps your pricing lower, not loss maker, but recover in the long run, helps you to face competition profitably, easy to determine and control the cost. That also is an advantage, and helps you to recover your investment without suffering loss. So because you are competitive from day one, you are able to recover, but over a period your business will sustain, you will recover your investment, and you continue to make profit year on year. So that's the advantage. Disadvantage is difficult to later increase prices. Okay, as per the old method, people will get used to that. Industry where cost of raw material is very high also cannot afford this method, or cost of raw material changing frequently. For them also this method is not doable. It ignores market dynamics, may not allow quantity to remain same. Market dynamics may reduce your quantity in 1 year, increase in a second or third year. So it's like considered as a short-term wise good strategy, but not for a sustained long-term business. Another instrument that we need to learn in export marketing and the pricing especially is a letter of credit. Okay, LOC. It's a payment instrument used in the export. It's a commitment on behalf of the importer by the bank of the importer that on sufficient production of documents and assurance that the goods is supplied and terms and conditions are met, the bank will effect the payment. Okay. So it's a credit instrument that importer's credit is used in obtaining LC, letter of credit. Importer has to generate, give it to exporter. Importer needs to pay fees to the bank. So that is what expenditure includes. It is useful when you are new with the importer. You can insist on that. Credit worthiness is not yet established, etc. Okay, and it is protects the interest of the importer as well as exporter, the mutuality benefits, you know, both. So process of issuing import letter, importer arranges for LC from his bank on to exporter. The issuing bank transferred letter of credit to the nominated bank of the exporter. So it's a bank to bank transfer. The exporter forwards the goods and documents to the freight forwarder. Post dispatch, it means this is like he is exporting the goods and the documents are handed over to the freight forwarder. Post dispatch, exporter submits document to the nominated bank of himself. This nominated bank checks the compliance, collects payment from the issuing bank, that is importer's bank, and remits in his account. And that way the issuing bank, that is importer bank, will deduct from the exporter balance that he has. So this is how the whole letter of credit works. Importer's account at the issuing bank is debited, that is reduced so much, and issuing bank releases the document. Issuing bank releases the document to the importer to claim goods from the carrier. So taking that goods, the importer has to go to the carrier and get the goods released. So it protects the interest of the exporter. Types of letter of credit, irrevocable or revocable. So here, changes cannot be made. That's an irrevocable. Revocables are something that you can revoke. You can probably also go to the other party and get your money, and that party will do the needful when the time comes. So there are various types. So these are the two prominent. In the irrevocable and irrevocable letter of credit is a financial instrument used by banks to guarantee buyer an obligation to a seller. It's an irrevocable because the letter of cannot credit cannot be modified unless all parties agree to modification. In the revocable letter of credit, change can be done or cancelled by the bank that issues it at any time and for any reason. So, revocable letter of credit is more dangerous to the exporter. So, you see that. Dumping, another concept that we need to understand. Of course, it has an impact on pricing. Therefore, they are covered here. They are not ad hoc concept being introduced. Dumping is a situation where exporters sell the product in the foreign market at a much lower price than the price of the product in the home country. If steel in what China does to US, if steel in China is costing 100 rupees a ton, China sends it to US at 20 rupees a ton. Dumping, so that has killed the US steel industry. Reverse dumping is a vice versa. Here are the three types of dumping that we will try to understand. Sporadic dumping, when dumping takes place occasionally, not with the periodicity in it. Okay, it only happens when the producing country, due to various reasons, have developed excess stock. Therefore, they want to get rid of it. Intermittent dumping, goods are dumped at a periodic interval. You can see that design. And long-term dumping, it's a continuous dumping. You keep doing very regularly. So that's a dumping which is very harmful. Various country protects their interest by charging anti-dumping duty, etc. So they will charge additional tariff to make your goods costlier and protect the local interest. Now, as we have earlier studied, there is a concept called Incoterms, okay, international terms which is to be understood by various international marketeers. So we will get into that. It's an international commercial term. Inco, international stands for international, CO stands for commercial terms. Way back in 36, it was introduced. It relates to the shipping of goods and aims at universal language. So it is a universal language that has been developed to avoid confusion between parties and thereby the malpractices. Responsibility of the administration of the Incoterm is in the hands of International Chamber of Commerce based at France. The term itself defines set of rules and responsibilities are clearly listed of seller as well as buyer when both enter into a transaction, especially delivery of goods, how it has to happen as per this Incoterm based contract that they have understood. So friends, I have tried giving you a table out here, not that I will kind of read out in detail, but one need to understand, we will study some of them definitely as we move forward. This is, though the title is 2020, but it is still a valid Incoterm. I've just checked up, it is still even valid today. Of course, International Chamber of Commerce may come out tomorrow with few more as the market changes, but so be it. Okay, so you have to like kind of try and basically get a gist of it, but trying to help you with Incoterms for any mode or mode of transport. Incoterms for debt, where if it is written, debt means delivery at terminal. So seller, that is exporter, is responsible to deliver goods at the named terminal by the buyer. You may be in Chennai, buyer is in, say, Sri Lanka, he says debt at Tuticorin. So goods has to be transferred by you from your factory to Tuticorin port. That's your responsibility. Terminal can be quay, warehouse, container. So that terminal need not be the port. It can be a warehouse where you are requested to transfer, or a container, or a container yard where the good has to go, or a rail terminal, whatever. So that can be a various things where importer expects you to deliver goods, from where onwards he will shoulder the responsibility. Both parties should agree on terminal and exact location within that terminal. Leaving terminal part open may lead to risks on the exporter side. Okay, so that's what one has to be. Though the date is very clear, deliver a terminal, but you must know terminal, which terminal. There also as much of detail. So here has been mentioned that exact location. Terminals are very large, so you should know that. So that's this thing. At this terminal point, when seller completes delivery, risks will get transferred onto the buyer. So now seller is no more. Seller delivers goods, gets the okay, risk is over. If it is intended the seller is to bear all the costs and responsibility from the terminal to another point, DEP or DDP, delivery duty paid, may apply. So then if this is like you generally decide, but these are the Incoterms that you will see there. So DEP means delivered at place. If seller agrees to bear the risk and cost of taking the goods from the terminal to another place, okay, that means again he has acquired the ownership of the goods, so the risk is his. So in that case, you have to agree for the delivery at place, and accordingly the pricing and all has to be fixed up. X works. Buyer is responsible to collect goods from the seller premise till it reaches his destination. Entire risk is his. Seller is not taking any transportation. FCA, free carrier. Here the seller agrees to hand over goods to the carrier named by the buyer, duly cleared for export. So buyer has to comply with the clearance of export, all the documentation, etc., and hand over the goods and the document to the carrier, and his responsibility is over. If seller assistance is needed by the buyer to get contracts signed, in such case seller assists, but expenses are borne by the buyer. So that's a support service. Carriage paid too. So here seller arranges to pay for the freight for the specific destination. Such risk in such case passes on to the carrier. So the moment seller hands over the goods to the carriage, which is going to deliver to the Sri Lanka, the good risk is passed on to the carriage. Okay, it doesn't remain with the seller. CIP, carriage and insurance paid. In addition to CPT obligation, as we discussed about, seller is also responsible to insure the goods in transit. Okay, so insurance expenditure has to be borne by the seller. DDP, delivery duty paid. Seller is responsible till he pays import duty also and gets the goods cleared. So his responsibility and ownership rest till then. So any damage to the goods till then is on seller account. But in other scenario, till the good lands in the importer country, duty is paid and goods is cleared, it is the seller's responsibility. All those expenditures he has to bear. So specific Incoterms for sea and inland waterway, there are a few more specific terms for that, which is FAS, free alongside ship. Here seller arranges to place goods alongside the carrier, post export formalities, clearance. Lifting, loading, etc. is the carriage responsibility. FOB, free on board. Seller is responsible to ensure that good is loaded in the ship, okay, nominated by the buyer at the specific port, okay, including export clearance is obtained. So that is free on board. Cost and freight, here the seller must pay all the costs and the freight required to bring the goods to the port named by the buyer and clear all the export formalities. So that is cost and freight paid, CFR. Risk passes over to the buyer when the goods cross the railing of the ship. So these are those demarcations. Various Incoterms have that, though I may not have specifically covered earlier, but various Incoterms states when the onus or the responsibility passes on to the importer. CIF, cost insurance paid. So as earlier said, here insurance is included. So you have to insure the goods. Okay. So we have discussed various Incoterms. Now we will get a quick look at various key points pertaining to the exporting. So export business is a very competitive business. World over, people manufacturing similar kind of goods are trying to sell goods in one market, which is also identified by you. Exporters are keen to thus accept any brand, any and every order from the buyer. So they are little keen to expand business, so they want to take every order. This may be because exporter is facing either slow business, cash flow issues, etc. Cost of production is not only growing but getting more frequently becoming variable due to changing economic condition, war in one area, the longer shipping route, so they charge you extra. So their variation is also now coming in. On the other end, due to competition, prices are getting shrunk, you know. So competitions are also reducing pricing. Each one is vying for that same pie of business. That it is required to monitor costs, reduce your fixed cost as much as, and control your variable cost to succeed in exporting. Export regulation and import regulation impact delivery, and thus complete clarity must be there in writing. Okay, so even that Incoterms, etc., is very important. Quality of the product, packaging, labeling, all should comply with the import country standard. Otherwise, goods will get withheld. Importer will not be liable. It is very difficult for you to get the goods back. So, big loss. Complete compliance as per the domestic and international norms must be adhered to. So, you have to ensure not only the importing country, even in transit, if there are any international compliances to be ensured, it is your responsibility as an exporter. Exporter should protect himself against payment by resorting to letter of credit, preferably irrevocable letter of credit. They must find a way to always have first and feel of the market in importing country. So they must be aware of, you may want to just do business as an exporting this thing. You don't want to have joint venture, you don't want to have licensing, but you must be aware of what is happening in the importing country, so that you are also in a dynamic world, price dynamics and all can be played better by you. So with this, we complete last and the important section on pricing and various terminologies that is linked and impact the pricing. We have seen that. So thank you very much, friends. With this, we complete the entire course module related session delivery. Thank you very much. All the very best.